So a couple of weeks ago, I had a listener slide into my DM sending me a video that had apparently gone viral of these beautiful botanical overalls. And when I clicked into the video and I was watching it, it's this incredible artist who takes actual flowers and dyes these white overalls with flowers and makes the most incredible botanical print via these flowers on her overalls. And the final product is the coolest thing I've ever seen. The listener, knowing it was something that I liked, also mentioned, you'd probably like this and it would be such a fun conversation to have on the podcast. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if I could get this artist to come on the podcast to teach our community how to make this incredible botanical print, because we're gardeners. A lot of us grow flowers. And if we don't grow flowers, we definitely know where to go buy cut flowers. We have an appreciation for flowers. And how cool would it be if you actually were wearing a blazer or a jacket or a scarf or overalls or pants, and someone says, those are so cool, where'd you buy them? And your response is, I actually made it with flowers from my garden. How cool would that be? Well, we're in luck because I did slide into this artist DMs and she did agree to talk to us. Her name is Kaylee. She is the founder of the sustainable clothing line Billy New, and she is such an interesting creative. This was a lovely conversation. You really just understand Kaylee's appreciation for nature and plants and natural living. And also, like, she lives the life that we all dream of by living in Provence, which you will learn more as you get into this. But by the end of this episode, you will be able to go make your own overalls should you choose, or something else. So if you do end up doing this craft, please let me know. I need to see the results. And also, if you have ideas for other people that you would want me to interview on the podcast, send them to me in my DMs, in my email. I read them from you and I do my best to accommodate all of the requests you send me. So, without further ado, here's Kaylee.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Kaylee, I am so excited to talk to you today about the internet's most viral overalls, and something that on Instagram, when I saw it, I thought, oh my God, I need to learn how to do this. And I need everyone in my community to learn how to do this. So thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. It's nice to be here.
For people who don't know who you are and your amazing artistry, can you just introduce yourself, introduce your brand, and tell us a little bit about Billy New?
Yeah, of course. So my name's Kaylee. I'm a British designer, but I live in Provence in the south of France. And Billy New is a very, very small, slow fashion brand. I create everything from start to finish, mostly using vintage and antique textiles. And the most exciting thing about the brand is that I do natural dyeing, which is where I use pigments from nature. So plant pigments and sometimes bug pigments, flowers and anything natural to color the clothes that I make.
It is so, your stuff is so gorgeous. Your website is so gorgeous. I just learned your partner is a photographer. So I'm like, oh, of course, these are like the most gorgeous photos. They're such an emotion to your clothes as well. I don't know if that makes sense, but when I'm on your website looking at your clothes, it like stirs something up in me, maybe because I'm connected to plants. But I'm curious, like, what has your history with nature been? Have you always been connected with nature? How do you become a professional natural plant dye artisan?
I thought you were going to say naturalist then. Well, yeah, I think I've always been connected to nature, not necessarily very consciously, but I grew up in like the most beautiful surroundings in Wales, like in the middle of a valley, like always playing in the forest, like pretending there's fairies everywhere. I had animals. I went to a Steiner school, which I always attribute to my kind of creativity. Like I feel like having, I don't know if you know what a Steiner school is. It's like a Waldorf school. So it's like a type of school where kids get to be really creative and really are allowed to connect to nature really organically and authentically and just have the freedom to be creative. So yeah, I think I've always been very attracted to nature and animals. Always had kind of a green fingers, but not necessarily like diving into growing things myself, but just find it naturally like attractive and easy. Yeah, and now I would still say that I'm not like a professional flower grower, but I do grow my flowers in my garden to create colours for the clothes that I make. And I do workshops as well with the flowers that I grow. And yeah, now nature is just like a huge part of my business, I guess, because it's just, it's woven into everything about my brand, like everything from the fabrics that I use are all natural. I don't use any synthetic fibres or anything like that. And yeah, the fact that I'm trying to get people in a way to kind of rekindle their relationship with nature via the clothes that they wear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so evident in your work. And I have to say, you've chosen, I mean, considering the fact that you grew up in Wales and now you live in Provence, like you've chosen some of the most beautifully natural destinations in the world to spend your time, which I'm sure is a constant source of inspiration for you.
Yeah, for sure. Like living in Provence is like, I would say, quite a lot of people's dream.
Yeah.
It's like one of those like magical things you have to pinch yourself, you know, every day, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
It's like, I actually live here and it's really simple. It's just a really simple life. I love it. Like what I love most about living in France are the markets. And every Wednesday I get to go to the market, go to my favorite farmers, buy the vegetables that they've grown. And I cannot like describe how much pleasure that gives me. Like every Wednesday, I'm like with my baskets at the door, ready to go and get my vegetables. And I've got a really nice relationship with the farmers. And it's just like, it's not just the fact that I'm buying beautifully homegrown vegetables. I'm having a really nice friendship with the people who've grown them.
That sounds like a dream. Just take me back to the first time you held a flower in one hand and a piece of linen in the other hand and thought, okay, like let me play around with this. Like what's the progression of this creativity look like for you?
Yeah, actually, I can't remember the first time I actually had a flower in my hand. But the first time I discovered natural dyes was online. I was like researching because I make overalls, which is like the basis of my brand and how you discovered me. But I was researching non-toxic ways to dye fabric. And I discovered that avocados made pink, like you could get pink natural dye from avocados. And I was just like, I didn't really even need to try it. I was just like, okay. Yeah, that's me. I'm doing that. That's what I'm using to color my overalls. And then I did it and experimented, tried with avocados. They came out not pink, but beautiful nevertheless. And yeah, just like ignited my passion from there. And then started discovering techniques like bundle dyeing, which is the technique that I use in the video that how you discovered me. Yeah, and that was like using wildflowers, I think, that I found. Maybe poppies might have been one of my first experiments. But yeah.
Wow. So you use natural dyes in a couple of different ways. Like you mentioned, you know, you use it to dye an entire piece of garment, right? Like turning an entire piece of fabric into pink. And then you have these really cool botanical kind of patterns on your website and on some of your clothes, like these overalls where you see the flower outlines. So you've mentioned a couple of different ways that you can use natural dyes, whether you're like dyeing an entire piece of fabric or whether you're doing, you know, this overall method that I'm obsessed with where you actually see the outlines of the flowers that you're dyeing. Can you walk us through what natural dye is and the different ways that one could use it?
Okay, yeah. So natural dyeing is using natural pigments to color cloth, really basically. And there are quite a few different techniques that you can use. For example, you can do immersion dyeing, which is where you will kind of put the whole piece of fiber or fabric into the pot and get the whole color. So like a unicolor, like a color across the whole piece of fabric. Then there's techniques like bundle dyeing, which is really popular, and it's really popular for a good reason because it's just really good fun. You just get to like wrap up flowers into fabric or pigments or whatever you're using, and then you unwrap them and it's like just like always different, always a surprise, and it's just really, really satisfying. There's things like ice dyeing, which I personally love and use a lot in my practice, where you can kind of put pigments into ice cubes and let the ice cubes melt onto fabric.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really cool. Yeah, it's one of my favorite. Then there's lots of other ways of dyeing.
You can use, like, in the botanical community, I've seen hammering, like where you're...
Yeah, you get fresh flowers, which is also just super satisfying. You can just get a piece of fabric, a fresh flower from your garden, and then you bang the hammer on top of another piece of fabric and the sandwich the flower in between. And then you'll peel off the fabric and the flower, and you'll have a perfect print of, like, whatever flower you've used, like cosmos or coreopsis are really great flowers for that. And that technique is really cool because over the last couple of years, I've been experimenting with doing it on walls, like in my
bedroom. Wow.
Yeah, and like furniture. So I have tutorials on that. But yeah, that, like, is really exciting. It's just like you can literally get a flower and hammer it onto your wall and have a beautiful print of a fresh flower.
That's beautiful.
So interior design.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's gorgeous. So what about washing? Like, if I do this hammering technique on a t-shirt and it comes out so great, but then the first time I wash it, is the dye going to just wash out? Or how do you keep the dye in the shirt?
Okay, so there's, like, this is like the most common question that I get asked. And I think every single natural dyer gets asked is, won't the colors wash out? Or how do you keep the colors? Or how do you fix the colors? And there's two parts to my answer to this question. One is, yes, you can use like a fixative. So a natural fixative, they're called metal salts. And you treat the fabric first, and that will help with the color fixation, how you get the colors to stay.
You treat it by like soaking it in a water, in a solution of the salt.
In a solution, yeah, exactly. Okay. So with the metal salts, so aluminium sulfate or aluminium acetate are the two most common and the ones that I like to use. But then I also just like to add in this piece that I think it's really nice if we could like rejig our relationship to color, and especially color, how it kind of stays on clothes. Like, natural dyes are alive and they're like kind of, they're like vibrating at a different frequency from synthetic dyes. So it's kind of normal that they might evolve and change over time. And it's actually really beautiful. And sometimes like the dyes will change over time, but get even nicer. You know, it's like things staying exactly the same doesn't necessarily mean that it's better, in my opinion, my humble opinion.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that because that is true. And it's interesting to think that the dyes could fade and become even more beautiful. That's like what people would think, oh, it fades, it's bad. What materials can I do? Like if I was to go to the thrift store and try and pick up, you know, a sustainable piece of clothing that I wanted to play around with after listening to this episode and getting so inspired, what are the best materials to play around with?
Okay, so if you're like a complete beginner, my personal recommendation would be to try playing around with protein fibers. And protein fibers are animal fibers, so anything like silk or wool, because they have a real natural affinity for like absorbing the colors.
Interesting.
But then if you want to get a bit more experimental, you can try using cellulose fibers, which are plant-based fibers. So anything like cotton or linen or bamboo, those you will tend to need to properly fix before using them to get any kind of like vibrant results. Whereas silk, sometimes you can get away without treating it at all and you can still get some like really cool results.
Oh my gosh. How many like times do you go to the thrift store and there's a million silk scarves that are like $1 each? You could get a silk scarf and do a little silk scarf as a first trial. Okay, so if you're going to do the linen, because my first thought would be to like do linen or something like that, you have to treat it with that, with the salts.
Well, yes. So you can treat it with aluminium acetate, which is what I tend to use. But another way you can do it is by using soy milk. So soy milk isn't necessarily a fixative, but it behaves like a binder. So you can soak your fibers. You can do this with cellulose or protein fibers, and you can soak them in a solution of soy milk. And then you get them out, you let them dry, give them another soak. And that will mean that the colors will adhere more easily and stay longer to your fabrics. And it's just like a nice, fun, easy, everyone can get a bottle of soy milk.
Right, of soy milk.
Good to do with kids. You know, there's no like, you don't have to wear masks or anything because the other salts that you would use are powders. So you want to be careful when working with them. But if you just want to have some fun, then soy milk is a really, really like just great way
and
to start.
Whether you're treating with the salts or with aluminum, I think we say, right? And you say aluminum.
Yeah.
Or the soy milk. Are you treating them, like soaking them and then washing it out, or you're leaving it before you dye it?
You're rinsing it out before you dye it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, with the soy milk, you can kind of let it cure, but you will always, when you're dyeing, you'll kind of soak your fibers before. But definitely with the aluminium salts, you kind of rinse them before, once you've done the process, but before you start
dyeing. Okay, got it.
When I meet listeners in the wild, one of the most commented things is that they come up to me and say, I really want to get one of the wind chimes you're always talking about. Wind River wind chimes are the greatest wind chimes on the planet, and they would make the perfect gift this holiday season. My Wind River wind chimes have really underscored my life for the last couple of years, plant friends, and they have brought me so much joy and peace I can't even explain to you. Whenever I hear them singing throughout the day, I am reminded to come into the present and take a deep breath. It is so relaxing. It is such a mindful reminder. And it is also the most delightful accompaniment to all of my garden time. As we enter this gifting season, Wind River wind chimes make incredible gifts. You can engrave the wind sail on the wind chime with meaningful dates, names, or phrases. I recently got Mama Fiella one for her new backyard reno, and I know she's going to love it because she has been asking for a Wind River wind chime of her own ever since she visited my house and became enamored with the sounds. So gift yourself or your loved ones ongoing moments of peace with Wind River wind chimes. Use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout to get a free engraving on any engravable wind chime. So it's done for you and it's free. Head to windriverchimes.com to listen to all of your different melodious options. The chime underscoring this ad is the one I have. It's the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime. And use code GROWINGJOY at windriverchimes.com for a free engraving to add a special element to your gift. That's code GROWINGJOY at windriverchimes.com.
On an episode about dyeing clothes with flowers, I have to talk to you guys about the best cut flower book in the game. If you want to grow your own flowers and specifically grow your own cut flowers, you need to check out the book called The Cut Flower Handbook by a repeat guest on the podcast, Lisa Ziegler. It is the bouquet building Bible for gardeners. Lisa has such a unique approach and easy to follow advice on multi-season planting and harvesting for both warm and cool weather cycles in almost all of the growing regions in the United States and beyond to maximize cut flower production. And the book takes you from seed to harvest. I also love how visual this book is, and she really shows you in such a small plot, you could grow so many different flowers. She visually shows you the exact way to do it. It's great if you're a visual learner. Also included in the cut flower handbook are 50 extensive flower profiles, planting tips and instructions and images on how to pinch plants, how to make your cuts, how to dig a planting bed, and more. And there are over 200 photos of the best cut flowers for home gardeners to grow and more advice on growing a cutting garden. But more importantly, I'm pretty sure every single flower that Kaylee mentioned today is in this handbook. So if you're feeling inspired, go grab yourself a copy of The Cut Flower Handbook by Lisa Ziegler, wherever books are sold. Once again, that's The Cut Flower Handbook by Lisa Ziegler. Okay, cool. Can I do denim? Like, because I'm thinking I want to go thrift like some denim overalls and try this. Can I do denim?
Yeah, absolutely. Anything natural. Also, don't worry if your fabric is already dyed. Like, you can over-dye things. Like, that's the fun thing. Then you'll get like an interesting color.
And you'll get different colors.
Like, if you think about the kind of what you learn in as a little kid, you know, mixing colors, you know, yellow and blue, you'll get green. Wow. So it's like, yeah, it's quite fun to think of.
Oh, that's so fun. Is denim one of the fibers that I would have to treat ahead of time?
Yes, you would have you'd have to go through a process of cleaning it very thoroughly. There's a name for that, which is scouring. But if we're talking in terms of like just, you know, beginners, you can just wash it very thoroughly on the washing machine and then you can go through to the mordanting process, which is like the fixing process.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I'm just thinking about all the different things. I mean, your overalls are iconic and I'm such an onesie like overall person. So I want to try doing them. But for like smaller, easier, like I'm thinking a silk scarf or maybe a denim jacket or jean shorts, like something, or just like a t-shirt, you know, could be a fun place to start. Or even like a button down linen long sleeve shirt that has like the pocket, and then just do the pocket with a couple of flowers could be so pretty.
You're literally, I can tell by the way you're talking, you're going to be someone who tries this and you're going to immediately be addicted because you're already having like
present.
And then I could do that. And then
next year, like we're doing this interview too. I found you too late this year for the holidays, but like next year, everybody's getting hand dyed. So, well, especially as a gardener, when you can use the flowers from your own garden, you know, I grow flowers because I like gifting flowers. I love showing up to friends with like little native flower bouquets, but those only last for so long and then they die. But if I could preserve my bouquets in an interesting way, like that is so exciting to me.
It's so exciting and it's so special. Like wedding bouquets, you can also work with dried flowers. So you can enjoy your wedding bouquet. And you can dry it and then you can dye something like a silk pillowcase or something like that. And it's just such a special way to preserve and kind of immortalize the memories and colors and everything about the day, you know?
Oh my God. Or you could get like a white little cute dress and dye it. And then on your anniversary, that's the dress you wear on your anniversary date every year.
I'm loving it. All the ideas coming out.
I know. Oh my God. I love that. Well, I got married a couple of years ago, but I worked with a flower preservation person, and she preserved my flowers and turned them into coasters and bookends and Christmas ornaments for our families, like ring holders. Like she took my bouquet and transformed it into so many things. So I love that idea. Okay. So talk to me about this bundle method. So for people who don't know, you went pretty viral on Instagram for this video you made with these standard like white overalls that you did this bundle dyeing method, and you had a bunch of different flowers, bunch of different colors, and they came out and looked so cool. I can't even stand it. So talk to me about this method. Is this the right beginner method? Like what would be the best beginner method for someone?
I would say this is just like anyone who wants to try this, you need to try bundle dyeing because it's so satisfying and it's really easy. And it's just like, like you said, using flowers from your garden is just kind of another level of like heaven in terms of creativity and getting the creative juices flowing. But yeah, so I dyed a pair of Billy New overalls. So these are like my kind of iconic, I guess, I don't want to say iconic, but like staple Billy New piece.
Yeah.
That's where my brand started with overalls. So I make them with vintage linen usually, or sometimes I'll buy new linen, but depending how I feel. I treat them, and so I fix them first. And then, so you can bundle dye using any flowers. Just make sure, you know, you're not using toxic flowers, like that goes without saying, really. You can use dry flowers, fresh flowers. There are definitely flowers that work better than others, like, for example, marigolds, coreopsis, cosmos, things like that. Purple pincushion flowers work really well as well. Things that kind of, roses work really well, red roses as well, but some roses don't work so well. So if you do want to get like instant gratification, try and choose the flowers that are dye flowers basically, that are used often in the dye world. Dyer's chamomile are another nice yellow flower.
Mm.
You can use them dry or fresh. If you're using them fresh, you'll tend to get like little prints of the petals, which is really nice. If they're dry, you'll notice it's a different texture from the petals. It'll be a bit more kind of less petal shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of really simply, you just like roll the flowers up into a bundle and then you steam the bundle in a steamer for 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, and then it's done. Basically, also you can use things like food waste. So you can use things like onion skins. They're really amazing for bundle dyeing. Really bright colored orange, and use red onion skins as well, which is quite fun.
Oh, that's so cool. So, okay, I'm gonna now ask you a million questions on the So I have my, let's say I'm gonna do thrifted jean jacket.
Yes.
I select my flowers. I think your list is great. I think also those are really common garden flowers. So that's amazing. Do I lay the jacket out and put the design of the flowers that I want first before bundling it?
So yeah, you'll be using your damp fiber. You'll lay it out on the floor or the table or wherever you're working. Then you'll sprinkle your flowers and your plant. You can also use pigments and stuff that you can buy online. So for example, you can use, I think you can buy marigold pigment. It's just like a powder. You can use powders as well. So you sprinkle your stuff, whatever you're using to dye your flowers. Leaves, some leaves work really well as well, all over your fabric. I like to encourage people to like do a design if they want to, because I feel like it's part of the creative process. Like some people in my workshops will do a mandala or something like that. But you're not going to get that pattern when it comes out, because you're rolling the fabric up into a bundle and then securing it with string. So the prints will kind of go on both sides of the fabric and bleed through the fabric. So bleed through the layers of fabric as well. So it's really kind of a...
And am I rolling it up into like a burrito bundle? Like just rolling until it's just one long cylinder?
Yeah, you can do that, or you can... And then you kind of roll it into a snail shape. So it's smaller. You can put it... So it's a long sausage and then you roll it into a snail shape. Mm-hmm. Or you can scrunch it up. You can do whatever you want. Like, it's nice to kind of just like get creative. But the most common way is to just roll it up like tight and into a sausage, and then kind of roll it into a snail shape and attach it.
And what if you're dealing with like a rose, you know, Coreopsis, Cosmos, those are pretty flat. Like you can lie those flat. What if you're dealing with a rose that's kind of like a cylinder in itself? Like the rose head isn't going to lay flat. So do you recommend just doing petals, or you're just going to put that kind of cone, you're just going to get that cone print?
Well, you can, normally I would like be pulling petals off or pulling chunks off. It sounds a bit brutal, but it's really satisfying. So like, especially if you've got those big marigolds or a big rose and you're chucking petals everywhere, but you can also like leave the rose intact and maybe just like press it down a bit into a shape that you want. But yeah.
That's so cool. And then, okay. So then talk to me about the steamer. What's a steamer that you're putting the roll in?
So a steamer is just like what you would use to steam your vegetables. You don't have to have a proper steamer. You can just use a pan and a colander, and you put a little bit of water in the bottom and then a lid on top. So when you're steaming your bundle, you don't want it to be in the water. You want it to be out of the water. So just above the water in your colander, you'll put the lid on and then turn the heat on, and the steam will be what the steam is what kind of assists the colors from the flowers to transfer onto the fibers.
Got it. So the steam is kind of heating it up, breaking it down, releasing the color onto the fibers. Yeah. So you're steaming it, and it's okay if you're using your kitchen gadgets like your kitchen pots, because it's all natural. So
this is one thing. If you're using soy milk, yes, but you don't, if you're natural dyeing, you do want to keep your kitchenware and your natural dye pots separate, just because you never know, especially if you're using the alum salts, you don't really want to be ingesting them. Just because they're natural doesn't necessarily mean that they're safe. Mm-hmm. A really common misconception, and something that you have to be very clear about. So my suggestion is that if you're doing something natural dyes, always keep that separate from your kitchen stuff, just to be sure, because also you don't know necessarily what's been on the fabrics or that
that's a great point. Also, if you're going to the thrift store, big pots at the thrift store are again like $3. So when I'm going to the thrift store to get whatever I'm going to dye, I'll also just pick up a big pot and a colander.
Exactly.
There, and just have that be your materials. Okay. And then so you steam it for 20 minutes, and then do you take it out and like let it cool before you unravel it?
Yeah. Do you let it, be careful because the steam will come out of the pot and the bundle will be hot. So just let it cool down a little bit, and then you can just untie it. Sometimes people say it's best to wait 24 hours just to be sure that the colors have gone into the fibers.
Really leached.
I don't wait, and I can't really imagine anyone who's seeing all those colors coming through the fibers waiting, to be honest. So it's perfectly fine. You can just unbundle it, shake off your petals, and then you'll have this beautiful piece of art to admire. And there's loads of other things you can do as well. Like you can modify the colors with certain things like citric acid or lemon juice, using ferrous sulfate powder. These are like things that you can play with once you've started learning a bit more, the basic technique. And then, so you'll let it dry, or you'll rinse it and let it dry, and then give it a hot iron, a steam iron, and that will kind of just heat set the colours in a little bit more. For washing it, you'll want to use a pH neutral soap, so like a pH neutral detergent, because natural dyes are pH sensitive. And if you use something that's too acidic or too base, that can shift the colours. So that hence why using citric acid or lemon juice can shift the colours. And so when you're washing it, use a good glug of, when you're rinsing it and washing it, use a good glug of soap and some water, cold water. Give it the word, I've got the French word, but not the English word, a frotte.
A little mix.
Yeah. Just to get all the bits off and the excess colour. Yeah. And then you can hang it up to dry and it's wear it or whatever you're going to
do. That is so cool. What's the coolest thing you've dyed? What's the coolest experiment you've done?
Right now, I'm just really obsessed with ice dyeing. I've got these big, thick, knitted woolen scarves that I knit out of lamb's wool on my knitting machine. So I actually studied knitwear in uni. So I've always been like really interested in knitting and big, chunky knits. And dyeing them with ice. I always say this about every new project, but I think they're like my favorite project that I've ever made. They're to color the way the dyes like melt into the wool is just really, really amazing.
Yeah, I think those are like the big header on your website, right?
Yes, at the moment, yes.
They are. They're really dreamy. It's a very dreamy look. So with the ice dye, you're whipping up a big batch of dye from natural materials, freezing that liquid dye into ice cubes and then putting it on top.
Yeah, you can do it like that. Or you can use pigments to create a liquid, or you can put fresh flowers into ice cubes, which are quite nice because flowers, once they've been frozen, when they melt, they kind of like disintegrate. So it's kind of like they don't just stay as a flower, you know, especially roses. Roses are really good for that. So they'll just like melt into the fibers, which is a nice way.
Oh, that's so cool. What are like the biggest mistakes you see people make with bundle dyeing? What do we need to be aware of?
I don't think you can really make mistakes, but I think people can get disappointed when they don't have the vibrant colors. So that's why it's important to, when you're starting out, before you kind of get to know what plants make what colors and stuff, to use the flowers that are known for their dye qualities, like marigolds and purple pincushion flowers and things like that.
What are the worst flowers to use? Like, what would you warn us against?
I think waxy flowers don't really work. I can't think of the names of those flowers, but like, or waxy leaves or things that kind of don't really, once you start dyeing with them, you'll get a feel to, so I'm doing this, like I'm touching flowers, but you'll start to realize the kind of textures and qualities of the plants that will work well. But yeah, or, you know, there's things like maybe a white flower.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It won't necessarily bring color onto the fiber, but there are ways that you can coax color out of a white flower. If it has, for example, like a high tannin content or any tannin, really, you can bring textures out from the dye that's from the white flower, even though you can't necessarily see it straight away. You can use ferrous sulfate, a solution of ferrous sulfate, and that will bring out like the textures from the flowers that don't have any colours. Sometimes I think it's quite nice as well, like to use plants plants or flowers that maybe have like a significance for you. So, or that maybe don't have much color, but have like a healing properties. So things like lavender or sage, things like that can smell really nice in a dye pot. They can also be really nice just to add into your bundle for just like as an extra kind of giving a gift to a baby or something like that. It's just really nice to know that there's that kind of
Medicinal almost.
That's medicinal quality of the plant in the fiber somewhere. Yeah.
If I want to get a good green, what do you recommend for a good green?
So green is like the hardest color to get in the natural dye world, which is weird. But normally if you want a green, if you want a good green, then you'll over dye indigo, which this is dyed with, which is a traditional blue dye. And then you'll over dye it with something yellow. So like something like weld or dyer's chamomile. And that's generally how you'll get green. But then there's things like if you use marigolds, for example, you can also shift their colours with ferrous sulfate, which will kind of do like a khaki green, or
What about if I wanted like the leaves look like if I had marigolds and my coreopsis, but I just wanted some little green like leaves? Like, could I take herb leaves like sage or something?
Yeah. Sage works quite well, actually. Yeah, I would go for things like oak leaves and stuff can work quite well as well, but more in a technique called eco-printing, which is really similar to bundle dyeing, but it's a little bit more precise and you actually get the shapes of the leaves that you're using. So things like oak leaves or eucalyptus leaves are really common in eco-printing because they have like
that beautiful shape. Yeah. What about, I had one more question I wanted to ask, because I'm looking at my garden outside. I'm like, I do have some marigolds. That's good. Oh, the food scraps. So that's really interesting. So the onion peels. What about like carrot peels or like what other food scraps might we be overlooking that we might want to throw into our designs?
Yeah, so carrot tops are cool. You can get actually quite a nice greenish color with carrot tops. Avocado skins and stones, onion skins, tea, herbal teas, coffee, pomegranate skins.
Ooh, are amazing. Pomegranate. That's going to get you a nice red, nice pink.
Yeah, it's yellow.
Really?
Yeah, but you would use the skin. This pomegranate seeds will make a nice kind of stain, a beautiful pink stain on the fiber, mm-hmm. but it'll just wash out. So they don't really have any components in them that help that kind of color stay. Mm-hmm. Onion skins are a really nice one to work with if you're a beginner because the color is so potent and it comes out so quickly and is absorbed really easily by the fibers. It's, yeah, one of my
favorites. For orange.
Yeah, orange colors. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's so cool. What about citrus? Like, what about an orange peel or a lemon peel or a lime peel? Those are kind of waxy.
Yeah, I mean, I've never tried with citrus fruits, but I'm pretty sure that you wouldn't have very much of a effect using them.
Okay, cool. This was so fascinating. Tell me more about Billy New, because if maybe you want this, you know, you make them. You also have a lot of tutorials, but also like say you want the iconic overalls and you don't want to make them yourself. You know, you've built such a beautiful, sustainable brand. So tell us more about where we can find you and potentially support you.
Okay. So you can find me on Instagram, Billy New. You can find me on my website.
Nou.
Yeah. Billy, BILLYNOU. It's the name of my daughter. And yeah, Instagram, billynew.com. Yeah, I have actually a specific tutorial which goes with the viral overall video. So you can actually, it's an ebook. So that's available as well. I have some other workshops available for beginners. And yeah, you can find me online. I have a YouTube channel as well, which I do more long form videos where I kind of do how-to videos, so you can get a lot of tips if you're just starting.
Okay. Yeah. So if people get really, I mean, I'll be going there. This is my next hyperfixation. But okay, that's great. So we'll link to everything. Tell us more about your clothes. So you have your gorgeous wool scarves, you have your iconic overalls. What else would we find if we go to your website?
Yeah. So I make a lot of beanies and lots of wide leg trousers and like gather tops, things that are kind of, I'm really into oversized apparel. It's like my style is like oversized and comfortable.
It's what you would think a woman, gorgeous young woman who lives in Provence would wear. It's just effortlessly gorgeous and organic and beautiful.
Thank you. I also like talking of like flowers and stuff. I also run a retreat as well, a floral retreat. It's called the Creative Floral Retreat, and that's based in Provence. And that's, so far, it's been once a year for the past 3 years. And that's a really beautiful experience because people get to come and hang out with us for a few days. And we do natural dye workshops and we make jewelry, like with print. This is a printed flower, and people get to make their own jewelry with flower prints and stuff. So if you're really into flowers, that's another thing.
Yeah. Especially if you're a European listener, because Provence, it's so easy to get around Europe when you live there.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, we'll put links to everything. Thank you so much. When I slid into your DMs, like as a total stranger, I was like, shout out to the listener who told me to reach out to you. She sent me your viral video and was like,
Thank you, listener.
So cool. Yes, it would be so cool if you interviewed her. And I was like, I'll try. I mean, she's pretty big deal, but I'll try. So thank you so much. This was so fascinating. And I can't wait to do my first project.
You're welcome. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for helping me spread the word about natural dyes and flower power.
My pleasure. I hope this conversation with Kaylee has you looking at your garden and your closet with fresh inspiration. I was like bursting with inspiration after this conversation. I do think I'm going to hit up my thrift store and see what's available. I love the idea of silk scarves and making several silk scarves and then gifting them like to my mom or as really nice birthday gifts. Like that would be so cool to make a one-of-a-kind silk scarf. And obviously also I need to try the overalls. I need to go thrift some denim overalls and do it. But anyway, I loved this conversation. Please go check out Billie New and support her if you can. We're going to link to her in the show notes, but she's such a cool, inspiring artist. And I'm so happy to have her as a new plant friend. And of course, tag me and Kaylee in whatever projects you end up doing after being inspired by today's episode. I hope this episode brought you as much joy as it did for me. And of course, that this week you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.